Please join me in another prayer. Oh God, may we grow in anticipation of your voice, a voice that speaks to us still. Let us hear and respond to the thunderous voice that calls us. May we listen with open ears and hearts that seek the Lord first. Amen. Who are you? Who are you? Just you? Okay. That's the best thing you can be. Being yourself is the best thing you can be. Who are we?
God's people,
church family.
Yep, church
friends. Friends, yep, that's a good answer.
The body of Christ.
The body of Christ, yes. Yes, very solid answer. We said it, we're God's people. But because of that, are we sinners or are we saints? Jeremiah was a man, a prophet, who was living in a broken world, a conquered one, a world in which the sins of an ancestor were thought to carry on for generations of punishment, a world where the Israelite people had felt that God's promises had been broken because they had been so downtrodden. And we're told in our psalm today that this came after David had Bathsheba's husband killed so that he could have her, committing both adultery and murder. Are we the sinners or are we the saints? In the gospel, Christ knows he is going to die. And die for all of us. Not just the godly people. Not just those who walk the straight and narrow. Not just God's people. But all of humanity. You see, God's love doesn't discriminate between the sinners and the saints. When it comes to each of us personally, God's love and redemption cannot be taken away. That gift of glory from Christ is assured for all of us. And we are all sinners who are in need of that new covenant that Jeremiah promises. We can all fall away and find ourselves seeking God's mercy and grace once again. And because God is steadfast and mighty and wonderful, we know we are God's people. Whether we count ourselves among the sinners or the saints on any given day, in any given moment. We know that God will forgive our wickedness and will remember our sins no more. We will all be washed clean, all iniquities blotted out. If you look at the cover of your bulletin, you might be able to spot the spot on the cover of the bulletin. I promise you the dot is there. I put it in digitally so that it would print. It is intentionally tiny. Even a sin so minor, an error so tiny, could be enough that we require God's mercy and redemption. But even if our entire page of iniquities was coated in ink, layer upon layer, more like an oil painting than a print job, God could remove it all in a snap and create a new, clean heart, a clean spirit, a restored soul. And when everyone has such a clean heart with a renewed spirit, God's law will rule the land and everyone will live in joy and peace. We look forward to the day when we can live in God's kingdom where everyone lives in peace and joy and we are all glorified because God is glorified first and foremost above all without ceasing. But today is not that day. And tomorrow might not be either. The most recent hate crime that has made national news, because they don't always make the national news, was the murder of 8 people in Atlanta, Georgia. And that may seem like a far-off place in a big city at that. Atlanta is bigger than Dallas. But we cannot pretend that Texas, or even this part of Texas, is devoid of anger and hatred and vitriol that make it impossible for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to live in peace and joy. God's glory has been promised, and we have seen glimpses of it. We have experienced Some of it. But it ain't here yet. God's love doesn't discriminate. Some of you may have seen the billboard. It's that direction. Some of you may have seen the billboard that is visible from the Kemp Food gas station and convenience store. It features, at this time, a picture of the city of Dallas with a little boy in what appears to be a gray Confederate uniform peeing on the city with the words, "I support Confederate heritage." It features the battle flag of the Confederate Army twice. We cannot pretend that racism is not alive and well here in Kemp. Not in this church, not in this congregation, not among God's people, but in this city, just a block down, though as I learned this morning, apparently over the county line, it's here. And knowing that our individual souls are promised salvation, and it is given right now, is such good news. It is a well and good and joyous thing. It is something we should celebrate every day that God has promised us individually redemption and salvation and justice and mercy. But it's no good saving yourself when Christ died for all of us, not just you. And I know this feels like the exact opposite of what I said just a few weeks ago, and it is. Because Christ died for everyone. So that does include you and me. We are not excluded. God's love does not discriminate between the sinners and the saints. It doesn't matter which we are. God's love is still there for us, whether we are on a high or low spiritual moment. But Christ also died for everyone, which means it's never just about me or just about you. The time for judgment is now. And that's where things get especially tricky. Because when people I know who are Asian or Pacific Islander or Black or Indigenous people or of color or Hispanic or Latinx or anything other than white say that they live in fear, that's not what God intended when bringing glory to the world, when bringing redemption and salvation, when living as a high priest among the people. That is not what Christ came for. And we must call out racism or threats of violence or oppression that we are witness to. Because we are here to give God glory, not tear each other down, not make someone the other, not treat someone as lesser than. And this is where I have to say that I don't necessarily have personal experience in this, because I speak from a place of privilege. Not a place of oppression, not a place where someone is likely to judge me based on my skin tone. This is where I tell you that I know theologically why I stand with the anti-racists and think that every person is God's precious creation and should be treated as such. It's because God loves all of us. God's love does not discriminate. And not just between the sinners and the saints, but doesn't discriminate based on gender or race, ethnicity, country of origin, legal status. No matter what you are, no matter who you are, God's love, God's redemption, God's mercy is for all people, everywhere, at all times. And giving glory to God's name includes honoring creation. So sexist, racist, whateverist, whatever it is that you encounter, it ain't good enough for God. We can do better. And rather than leave you in a lurch, I want you to know that there are resources out there. If you're interested in learning more about how to be anti-racist, or what the United Methodist Church is doing with the Global Commission on Religion and Race, there are books, there are videos, there are podcasts, however it is that you absorb information. There are people out there witnessing to God's goodness and glory in the face of oppression and hatred and anger. There are books that lift up oppressed voices and treat them with dignity and respect and proper authority. Some will be theological, and some will just be personal experience. Many years ago, I read a book by a gentleman named H. Rapp Brown. And it was a book that changed my life. It wasn't very big. But I think it was one of the first times I understood what it was like to be angry. What it was like to look at the world and say, why would you treat someone different for the color of their skin? Because that's not what God does. And we're supposed to model what Christ does. We are supposed to be like Christ, to follow Christ in all things. And again, I'm not sure that there's an issue here in this congregation, but if it's in the community, it is something we must pray for and address and be witness to. Leaving the sanctuary today means going out into the world, knowing that we are saved, knowing that we will be glorified, and therefore should be about the work of bringing about God's kingdom right here, right now. God calls us, empowers us, equips us, guides us, leads us, and restores our hearts and souls. God's voice might not be thundering, angels might not be appearing, but the people who are crying out for justice aren't going to be silenced anytime soon. And that gives me hope, because now is the time for judgment for this world. Are you ready? I hope I am. Amen.